Hello and welcome to another episode of Banking on Information. Today, my guest is Ben Coleman, who is CEO and co-founder of Reality Defender. Welcome to the podcast, Ben.
Thank you for having me.
Now, we always start with this very important question, which is, why do you do what you do?
The short answer is this is all that I've ever done. The longer answer is that with all things technology, the first best, or I guess the worst use case is for bad actors. And so, you know, as I worked in different organizations, as at Google in grad school, I worked at Goldman Sachs. I've done work for various government research spaces. What we've seen time and time again is that as technology evolves, the first best use case, unfortunately, for technology is to commit fraud. Because bad actors and hackers and fraudsters are the most motivated to leverage new tools to do fraud at scale. And I think with generally in fraud, but also cybersecurity specifically, fraud is equal opportunity. Doesn't care what you look like, what you sound like, where you're based.
So you are passionate about technology, but also keeping it out of the hands of the bad guys, or at least making sure that it's hard for them to use it.
You know, I think put a different way is I expect we should all expect them to use it. And there, nothing can really stop them from using it, unfortunately. It's more about developing technology, developing AI in this space, deepfake detection, to detect AI because humans just cannot tell the difference. Even the PhDs on our team.
So you're passionate about defending against that, hence the name Reality Defender?
I'm absolutely passionate about defending all types of bad actions, particularly here within bad actions accelerated with AI.
So let's talk a little bit about then what Reality Defender does. What is the number one use case that you solve for?
So Reality Defender, we're focused on securing communications wherever they are. And really that comes down to impersonations that are used for fraud. Scanning for real-time audio, real-time phone calls, for example, financial fraud with our bank clients. Scanning real-time video, for example, this podcast, to see if the person you see on Zoom or Teams or WebEx is indeed a real person or not. And you know, one thing to kind of say what we don't do is we don't touch any personal data. And so if you say, you know, my name is Ben, we will just say no AI detected. We're not going to know whether it's Ben or Rugger or you know, or anybody.
Yeah.
And so if we think about it, anything tied to you or I, our face, our face print, our voice print, name, birthday, social security number. Unfortunately, it's all available either online, on the dark web, or different corners of the internet. And so assuming all of our personal information is already available online, it doesn't really provide any type of fraud protection. The fact that someone who claims to be you or me knows that information. And so by detecting that, you know, your face or your voice, are indicatively AI generated or manipulated, it's kind of the final overlying protection to protect us from bad actors pretending to be us, financial fraud or identity fraud.
So you're actually checking for personhood, for someone actually being real and not fake.
Right. Yeah. We're not checking for content or context or truthfulness or identity. All we're doing is saying at the pixel layer within an image or a video, or within the waveform or spectrogram within audio, are there anomalies that indicate AI generation or manipulation? And from there, we make it really easy to understand for a non-technical user, perhaps somebody works in a bank call center, or you know, you or I on a Zoom, just to say immediately, here's the call to action. We're not sure, but the platform says this might be fake. Let me either ask you more questions. Let me ask you to call me directly, or let me, you know, cancel the conversation or the wire transfer because it just seems fishy.
Yeah. No, it I think is a very important thing in this day and age with so much fakes happening. Now, when you talk to your customers and they describe what value you deliver for them, what are the stories that they tell you?
You know, for the first few years, it was a huge challenge because we had to basically prove to people this was even something that was a problem in the first place. You know, back when we started the company about 5 years ago, there was no such word, deepfake or generative AI. You know, we called it digital humans and AI avatars, which is not quite as sexy of a name than deepfake or generative AI. And so the first few years, it was just a tremendous amount of education, really saying like this could be a problem, but it had not reared its ugly head yet. And then you know, toward the end of 2022, beginning of 2023, once OpenAI's ChatGPT really reached, you know, massive global success, the education we were doing turned a lot more into directly demonstrating the problem to kind of get that visceral feeling, kind of similar to when you find out that your email or your social media have been hacked. No longer is it wow, this will never happen to me. It's more like, wow, that is happening to me, and here's how it's happening. And so you know, your viewers, your listeners, can Google us and see we were subpoenaed to give testimony in Congress, in the Senate, and we provided a deepfake on a permission basis. So we first asked Senator Blumenthal's office and Senator Hawley's office and Klobuchar and others who you know are way left wing, way right wing, but on this issue they're truly bipartisan. So it's one of the areas really exciting to watch our government, our democracy really work well.
Yeah.
And when they heard Senator Blumenthal's deepfake voice, it was like, wow.
Yeah.
This isn't just a theoretical thing where you met online. That's me. And I did not say that.
Right.
So really trying to demonstrate to our clients, like, well, we'll, you know, with their permission, obviously, we'll show up on a call to a top 10 global bank as their CEO.
Right.
With him on the call. And he'll say, holy moly, that's not me.
Yeah.
So anyhow, the kind of summing it all up, deepfakes are here.
Yeah.
We'll need to get used to them.
Yeah.
There's technology that can solve for it. We're thinking of us as antivirus software. It's going to get more exciting with the advent of AI agents, where you'll use a permission deepfake to call and make a restaurant reservation or buy an airline ticket or tell somebody that you're changing a meeting. Which just increases the opportunity to better understand the difference between real and fake.
Yeah. Well, it already feels very futuristic, but I like to do this thing called futures thinking, which is thinking 10 years out and thinking what a possible future could look like. So we all don't know what the future is going to hold, but I would love to get your thoughts on what a possible future could look like in this space 10 years out from now. What do you envision?
Yeah. So, you know, I, again, I'm incredibly optimistic on this. I just think that right now technology is moving quicker than regulators can really respond to it. But in our space specifically, I think it's going to very much mature like antivirus software. You know, for those of your viewers, they might remember maybe 25 years ago, you picked a file and scanned it because it was computationally expensive. And then maybe 15 years ago, you got an email from your company or your school saying, you know, please log out at 6 o'clock. So we're going to take over your computer and update it and check for viruses. And now what's happening is all done locally. It's happening in a real time. So you get an email, you know, my mother sends me these PowerPoint presentations of dogs and cats. Obviously there's probably a virus in there. Well, Gmail or Outlook find it before you even open it. And you only know it's happening because it says, hey, we caught something. We caught ransomware. We caught an APT. We caught a Trojan horse. We're very much still in the first kind of chapters in our space, where you're scanning specific files in certain times, and that's really just a challenge around compute and battery life. But what I'd expect is it to be within 10 years built into every device that you use, and it becomes just as common as you know spam block. Your phone says, "Hey, this call might be spam." This caller might be spam.
Right.
Are you sure you want to do it? And you're like, oh, it's probably United Airlines telling me that my flight's been delayed. Yes, I want to hear the robot voice. So in this case, it'll say, you know, you're on a call record and it looks to be an AI audio and you'll get notified. Maybe I'll still want to do the call. Maybe it'll be the AI agent of yours telling us that this podcast has been rescheduled to 10 minutes later. Either way, you know, our kids' generation are going to get used to it. Again, just an extension of general antivirus, this way toward all media and all communications.
Yeah. So it's going to be everywhere on every device, letting us know what is actually real and what is AI or deepfake.
Yeah, and you know, one thing I'll kind of and really end on is that there's no silver bullet here. No single technology can solve any of this. Same way antivirus software is really an amalgamation of thousands of different models. And same thing with us. We're one of a number of tools. I would argue we're the most important one, because even if all the others say that Rucker is name, birthday, social, face, voice, all match, we say we don't care about any of that. Just we're hearing or seeing seems manipulated, which then gives you a moment to pause and decide, well, maybe it's his AI agent and I'm fine with that. Maybe it's him calling because he's emergency needing money, in emergency needing money, and wow, this is fraud. And unfortunately, that's the thing that's happening to a lot of families, getting these, you know, AI ransom phone calls. Before they used to say, we have your daughter, and now they're saying, we are your daughter.
Right.
So we're very optimistic, and we're really excited with some of our partners, whether it's large banks, large telecoms. So they take our solution and, you know, expose it to the masses to help protect average people.
So how do people get ready for that future that you're describing? What can they do today to defend themselves to what is coming?
You know, if we spoke about this a year ago, I'd give you all the tips and tricks to notice if there's too much symmetry or pixelation or anti-aliasing or other. But unfortunately, over the last 4 or 5 months, the technology has gotten so good that you just can't tell the difference right now. I'd really kind of go back to the antivirus comment. You know, we don't expect, you know, my seven-year-old or my seven-year-old parents to look at code and say, you know what, that looks like a virus. It's more that we just use solutions that demonstrably protect us and themselves from these things. Same thing with our solution. You know, folks should ask their banks, like, what are they doing? If their bank says your voice is your password, you've been authenticated, they should say, holy moly, like, that can be fake. That's not good enough. And us right now, you know, we'd be careful on kind of naming any banks that use us, but the ones that are thinking about this, they don't use audio as authentication anymore, because it can be faked again by my seven-year-old with a few mouse clicks on his tablet that he's just watching cartoons, but he's making these funny videos of him or me as a, you know, choosing favorite actor. Those are deepfakes. They're not, you know, fraud in that sense, but again, technology's out there and easy to use.
So the reality is here of deepfakes, so you got to get ready for it. You got to defend yourself against it. I think that's probably a great spot to wrap it up. Thank you very much, Ben, for being on the podcast.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Great. And until next time, choose to be curious.